You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 12th of April 2015 on Monocle 24.
Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week, we're looking at Q1 corporate earnings around the world, taking a region-by-region perspective and considering the broader importance of what this reporting season represents to companies, investors, and analysts alike. Of particular interest this time is the potential performance of Eurozone companies compared to their US counterparts, who they are possibly primed to outstrip for the first time in a number of years. We start with Kiran Ganesh, cross-asset strategist at UBS, who addresses the primary question, why is this earnings season so important?
Well, I think that there's been some pretty big trends taking place in the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year, which will really start to make themselves clear in this earnings season. So we've seen, obviously, the very sharp decline in oil prices, the relative weakness for the euro, the sharp rally for the dollar. Now, quite how much impact they will have on corporate earnings, I think, is still to be seen. And I think that's why this earnings season will be particularly important.
People are clearly exercised by earnings report season, but are they right to read so much into it? David Lefkowitz, UBS senior equity strategist, takes up the story.
I think from my experience, there usually are surprises, both on the upside and the downside, during earnings season. So I think there's understandably a lot of focus on the results, and it does make sense to me. I mean, a lot of times, though, companies just come in line with consensus expectations and there's not much to talk about, but it's when we do have those surprises that you can see stocks move quite materially when you do see either positive or negative surprises. So I think it does make sense that the market does focus a fair bit on the results season.
Axel Threlfall, editor-at-large at Reuters, shares his insights into the significance of the corporate reporting season and what it is that people are really looking for.
It's very important what Q1 will show us. The expectation for the year as a whole is that European companies are going to overtake US companies for the first time since 2010 in terms of their earnings growth. That's as a result of cheap oil and the euro weakness and something we've talked about before, a generally brighter economic backdrop. I think what we've seen in the US is that a lot of the companies have marked their expectations down significantly. The energy prices have had a lot to do with that. So we are expecting a little bit less in the US, and that's why people are banging the drum for European equities a little bit as well. We've seen a mini explosion in M&A activity as well. Companies are prepared to deploy cash. The media and the telecom space, especially in Europe, is a good one. So I think the expectation for Q1 in Europe is pretty good. The weak euro has helped enormously, and the expectation that it's better than the US is certainly there as well.
Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth.
Well, moving to a world, at least in the US, where the Federal Reserve is at least looking at some point in the foreseeable future to start normalizing monetary policy, QE's come to an end in the US, and again, while interest rates may be further away than we perhaps thought before the most recent payroll data, they are still talking about putting interest rates up. So that's a more normal world than a world where corporate fundamentals and earnings are likely to play a greater role with respect to the direction of markets. So that's the US case. I think in Europe, it's because we haven't had earnings growth for much of the last 2 years. A lot of the bull case around Eurozone equities is that earnings will finally start to come through as you have a cyclical recovery at the same time that you have a much weaker euro. So there it's about, again, finally seeing earnings coming through to give investors who invest in Eurozone equities confidence and confirmation that it's the right call. And then in Japan, I think it's not as much about the earnings growth itself, but around the additional announcements of buybacks and of increased dividends, which the bulls on Japan are anticipating will come.
So what are the key drivers behind the data? There are three things to consider, according to Kiran Ganesh.
I guess it's three major factors. I mean, the first, on the revenue perspective, you need to look at how the economies are doing, and secondly, you need to look at how well performing the currencies in the countries that companies are selling to are performing. So You know, we think that should be favourable for places like the Eurozone, where you've seen a relatively weak domestic currency, so raising the value of Eurozone goods abroad, and the fact that the domestic economy has been doing relatively well. And then on the cost side of things, and you're going to look at things like oil prices, which are obviously a major input cost for many companies. And again, in the Eurozone, as the world's largest net oil importer, we think that will have a favourable impact.
Now let's consider in greater detail some of the key regional trends. First, a focus on Eurozone companies' performance compared to their US counterparts. Bert Janssen is European equity strategist at UBS CIO Wealth Management. Does he expect the reports to confirm this shift in the transatlantic dynamic? And if so, what does he make of it?
It's actually very likely, yeah, because we've had 2 years of adverse currency effects for the Eurozone in the form of a higher euro, and that is now turning into a tailwind, where we have the weaker euro that really should start to boost the earnings as of this quarter, as of Q1. And the opposite is, of course, true for the US, where the strong dollar will be a bit of a drag on the Q1 results.
Here's Simon Smiles again.
Well, it's our base case, in fact. I mean, the euro-dollar, the move's been huge. That's obviously positive for European companies with 50% odd of earnings coming from outside the Eurozone. Conversely, it's a drag on US earnings. Less material, given around 25% of US companies' earnings are derived in foreign currency, but still a drag nonetheless. In addition, the greater weighting to the energy sector in the US is likely to pull that earnings lower.
What's the American perspective? Here's David Lefkowitz again.
US companies are definitely facing some headwinds, the biggest of which is the plunge in energy sector profits. I mean, that's going to subtract nearly 700 or 800 basis points from growth in the first quarter. Energy sector profits are going to be down over 60% in the first quarter. So just looking at the headline numbers, that's a big distortion. Throw onto that the impact of the dollar, which is another 300 basis points, and it's not surprising why the current consensus estimate is looking for earnings to contract in the first quarter. Now, that being said, I think it's important to realize that the average company is going to do much better than that, because the average company is not really impacted by the plunge in energy. But yeah, I think the U.S. will see an earnings, can likely see an earnings contraction in the first quarter.
And Axel Threlfall agrees. The U.S. picture is not so bright, but still pretty positive.
We do have to put it in perspective. We're seeing analysts downgrading a number of EPS estimates, both in Europe and the U.S., but the pace of downgrades in Europe and indeed in the U.S. is slowing as well. We've got to remember that a majority of U.S. companies trade domestically, so the strong dollar doesn't necessarily have a big impact on them. We've also seen, I talked about a mini explosion in M&A activity. We've also seen that happen in particular in healthcare in the U.S. So that is, again, companies deploying cash. So that's a positive sign. The U.S. doesn't look bad. The economic backdrop is good there as well. Yes, there is a little bit of a fear of rising interest rates in the U.S., but it doesn't look bad. It just looks a little bit worse than Europe right now.
So the Eurozone will be outstripping the U.S., but the U.S. is still looking very solid. Is any divergence important then? Yes, says Kiran Ganesh.
The US is still doing, you know, relatively well. I mean, the economic data has been, you know, a little disappointing of late, but it's still an economy which is, we would say, growing steadily once you strip out some of the temporary factors. But I think it is important that we see this earnings divergence, purely because we've seen very, very strong performance from Eurozone equities year to date. Now, they need to do something to justify that performance, and we think that they will deliver on strong earnings growth, but it's very important that they do that. Because if you look at sort of valuation metrics, Eurozone equities have caught up quite a lot of the valuation gap with the US equities so far year to date.
Up next, we'll continue to gather the global view and turn our sights to the APAC region. Hartmut Issel is head of equity and credit in APAC in the UBS CIO Wealth Management. Here's Hartmut's overview of the picture through the APAC region.
We really see maybe a slight revision downwards on the overall Asia ex Japan level. So currently we're talking about 9%, maybe we're closer to 10 at the beginning of the year, but that's not a major revision. But if we look at the single countries, becomes more interesting. To start with, of course, the biggest, by far the biggest weight in that index is always China. And even though that market is rallying quite strongly, I mean, the A shares last year and this year, the H shares catching up. But interestingly, that seems to be mostly liquidity driven, because the earnings expectations, or earnings growth expectations, have ever actually, especially since the beginning of the year, been revised downward quite significantly. So currently, consensus expectations tell us about 5%. So that's quite a bit lower than the beginning of the year, and it's also quite a bit lower than the rest of Asia. So it sits a bit odd with that strong rally. But as I mentioned, the rally is mostly liquidity driven.
What's the story in other key markets like India?
That market is seeing slight revisions downwards. So the fourth calendar quarter earnings season was a bit soft, I must say. So therefore, we got a couple of earnings downgrades, although not to a major extent. So we're still expecting double-digit earnings growth, so that will still be above average.
Taiwan is a different animal, though.
Taiwan is a bit of a different animal in a sense that is a, probably the most export-driven stock index of any of the indices among the major Asian markets. So 60% almost is really IT. Mostly it is IT. And here we're seeing an encouraging trend since the fourth quarter earnings season. It actually is one of the Asian markets where we're actually really seeing upgrades, and we're also quite confident with the U.S. recovery, also not really the European recovery, of course also big export markets for the IT companies, that here we're seeing further upgrades. The market is really not expensive, so yeah, that stands out. I think Taiwan is one of the markets that stands out on the positive side in the earnings picture.
That's the view on some of the key Asian markets there from Hartmut Issel. Time to conclude our global perspective and also to look ahead into the medium term. David Lefkowitz offers a considered view of the whole global picture, earnings-wise. For him, it's all about global economic growth.
Taking a step back, I mean, the biggest question is just what's happening with overall economic growth. And there is a quite a strong correlation between just economic growth and earnings growth, for probably the obvious reason. So, you know, here in the U.S., we see a recovery that we think is still quite well entrenched, although the first quarter GDP figures are probably going to be a little bit slower. We think the slowdown is due to some temporary factors such as the bad weather, the stronger dollar, the port strike, the fall in energy capital spending, all of which are not likely to persist. We look at the Eurozone, things are looking a bit better. I think the most important thing from my perspective is that the banks are starting to look a lot more healthy and starting to support the recovery. And if you look at surveys of bank lending, the banks are starting to ease credit. And that's the first time we've seen that since the recession. So that's, I think, a very important shift we're seeing in the Eurozone. And then if you look at the emerging markets, it's very mixed. A lot of emerging markets are heavily dependent on commodity exporting, and that's obviously going to be a problem in the next couple of quarters. But others are more focused on exports of goods to the developed world, and that should be a bit better. So it's going to be mixed in emerging markets, but I think the big picture is that the global economic recovery is still very much intact.
So what might keep things the same, or alternatively, be the drivers for change? Bert Jansen again.
There are, of course, some one-offs. Yeah, if the euro stabilizes at some point, or maybe reverses trend, yeah, you will not have recurring positive forex effects all the time. The same applies to oil prices. Yeah, the year-on-year effect is kind of at its maximum in the current two quarters. Yeah, but the positive effect will drop out at some point. But we do expect that the GDP growth in the Eurozone will actually accelerate in the second half of this year. For 2016, yeah, we expect more growth in the Eurozone than we expect this year. So there are some positives going through into 2016, helped by quantitative easing, and there are possibly some one-offs like oil prices and the euro.
And finally, here's Axel Threlfall's perspective.
The dramatic fall in the euro has created massive opportunities for European manufacturers. So, of course,
what happens to the euro and on the currency front is going to be critical. What happens to energy prices is going to be critical. We've seen a big impact from falling oil and the strong dollar. So I think we need to watch those things very, very carefully. You know, just to put the euro in the drop into perspective, a drop of 10% in the euro against the basket of currencies apparently translates into about a 6-8% rise in European profits. That's how important the euro's fall is to some of the European manufacturers. And then, of course, we've got to watch the M&A side. I mean, it really depends what happens on the M&A front as well. It really depends on what happens to the cash that a lot of these companies are sitting on, and they're sitting on an awful lot of cash right now. If the M&A boom, that little mini boom continues, medium-term things should look pretty good. 2015 should look pretty good is what most people are saying for Europe right now.
Just time now for a closing thought from Zurich. Here with the client view is Simon Smiles.
There are clients who still have no interest in investing in equities, believe the markets have run simply too hard. They haven't been invested for much of the last 5 or 6 years. And so, you know, changing that view with markets at nominal all-time record highs in terms of index levels, you know, is very difficult behaviourally. For the clients who are invested in equities and have been and have benefited from the sharp appreciation in global equities over the same period of time, the views tend to be very regional at the moment. There's a lot of interest in Eurozone equities, in part the pickup in the domestic economy, the weaker euro, but also obviously quantitative easing from the ECB. In terms of the Japanese story, a much less widely held view in terms of a bullish view on Japanese equities, but those who hold it, you know, are firm believers. And then when one looks to the US market, while there was a lot of love for the US over much of the last 2 years, it's very hard to find clients who are actively, outside of the US, clients who are actively interested in increasing their allocations to US equities currently.
And that was Simon Smiles bringing us to the end of this 27th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance, every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.